Kia ora and welcome to Sobriety Chat. My name is Lotta and I am the Community Manager here at Living Sober and Content Creator. And this is a treat. I am joined by one of our original members. When the site launched nearly 10 years ago, Hetty was one of our first to join. She's a sober hero. She's a mother of daughters. She's a wife. She's a cook. She's a passionate vegan. And she is sober. Hi, Hetty.
Oh, and I'm sober. Hi, Lotta.
How long has it been now?
Well, 9 years. So I wasn't quite in the beginning, but I was definitely in the first thousand.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, we're up to, gosh, I can't even remember now, 13, 14, 15,000.
I know, last time I looked, it was about 5,000, and I thought, whoa, but it's way more now.
So what brought you into living sober? Where were you at with your drinking?
Oh, boy. I wasn't an alcoholic. Did you know that? I was not an alcoholic. I was at work every morning at 7 o'clock. I hadn't lost any friends. My husband still loved me. But I had a bit of a problem with drinking. So I went to an AA meeting. It was a very nice one, all women sitting in a group, very friendly. And I heard one horrible story after another. So I had to come home and have a bottle of red wine. I was that depressed listening to their stories. I could not relate to anyone. I was not an alcoholic.
Because you were relying on those kind of outward signs of things falling apart. But you obviously had an inner dialogue, a worry.
A worry. That constant, well, I'll try not to drink today. I'll do that, you know. Oh, waking up. You know, everyone who's listening to this should, well, they're probably some newbies. It's the whole drama the whole time up there in the top of your head. But then one morning I was watching Breakfast and you came on and talked about being a functioning alcoholic. Ding! That was the word I needed, functioning alcoholic. I joined your site 2 days later. 5 days later, I stopped drinking. 5 days later, I swore for... I'm going to start crying. 5 days later, I swore forever.
And how scary and is that?
Well, I just thought I was going to be bloody miserable for the rest of my life, didn't I? Because when I had alcohol-free days, my daughters used to try and talk me into having 2 alcohol-free days a week. And then the bitches would ring me up on those days. And I was flatlining. But they said, yeah, but at least you're not slurring your words. So I just thought, got to do it. I'm not happy. I was on so many pity me parties, nonstop. I wasn't happy. So I had to stop.
What was your actual habit like at that point towards the end? Was it a daily thing and how did it develop?
It kept those two forced days where I flatlined. A bottle a day, but often a little bit more. You know, that bottle just wasn't big enough, you know? Why didn't they make liter bottles? Then I loved weekends because I always had champagne breakfast because you could start drinking at 9 o'clock. So, yeah, I probably had an average of 10 bottles a week.
And did you feel like, and I kind of know the answer to this, but we need to sort of tease it out, but, you know, the environment, the society we live in here in Aotearoa and other countries, you know, it's kind of that habit is kind of okay. It's kind of considered normal. Do you look back at it now and think, gosh, that was so much alcohol I was drinking every week. It's not
normal? No, I probably, if my friends probably had more problems with me because I wouldn't go to a restaurant for lunch unless they served alcohol. I wouldn't go to a cafe unless it was licensed. It was me that was the, so and don't forget, yeah, I stopped drinking at 65, so I was a bit later. I didn't start drinking till my mid-30s. So I didn't come into what that whole alcoholic, even when I was younger, the parties I went to were sober parties. No, that never really came into my husband wasn't a drinker. He would have a little glass of wine. Sometimes he'd have two little glasses of wine. Horrors. So, yeah. My daughters and I used to have a lot of fun drinking. They came visiting, even when they were really young. We'd get into the gin and tonics.
Yeah. So I feel like I know you because we've been communicating online for 9 years and we've met once before in person, and I know that you're a bubbly, lighthearted, lovely, warm woman. But obviously there was something going on that kind of pulled you into that numbing constantly. Do you look back now and feel like you were kind of squashing the kind of essence of yourself?
Like so many women, I felt uncomfortable with other people. I always felt I didn't fit in because I am loud. I always say the wrong things at the wrong time. And I am loud. People go, ooh. I'm still loud. But, I think I thought that if I had a few drinks, I would feel more comfortable around other people. Big mistake.
Yeah, I mean, they call it liquid courage, don't they? There's a lot of people who use alcohol in that way, but because it kind of shields you from worrying about what others are thinking, I think.
Yeah. But I drank when I was happy. I drank when I was sad. I drank when I was angry. I just drank. Really, there was no real, to me, in my own head, no reason, really. I just drank. Oh, and it might have started also, my husband started doing shift work, four on and four off, and he had to be in bed by 4:30 because he got up at 2:00, 1:30 in the morning, it was gone by 2:00. So I had a lot of nights on my own, which just another good excuse to drink a whole bottle without being judged.
That was my story as well. My husband was a shift worker, and in those last few years of my drinking, he went to bed about 8:30 because he had to get up at about 3:30.
Yeah.
And it was just those kind of lonely nights, although I didn't think they were lonely. I thought I was being cool and having a party, on my own.
Oh, yeah, all by yourself. Weren't we cool? Not. But, so that sort of maybe if he'd been around, but then what about the 4 days that he was home? Probably, I never was a secret drinker. You asked me what made me stop. It was seeing you. But just before that, I did my first lie of drinking because he had his wine. I wasn't allowed to touch his wine because if I touched his wine when he wanted one, it wouldn't be there. So that was the rule. Don't touch my wine. Drink your own. And that night I'd run out. So I opened he had half a bottle. So I drank his half bottle and then I felt guilty. So I got another bottle, drank that half and put that half back in the cupboard so that he wouldn't notice. And I thought, that's my first drinking lie.
Yeah.
I'd never lied. I never lied about my drinking. I was always open about it. But that was my first lie. And I thought, there's a slippery slope coming here, isn't there?
That's the same as me. And sometimes I feel like, it's common for people when they get to that really problematic point with their drinking to lie and deceive. And it can go on for years and no judgment. Like, I get it. But for whatever reason, for me, it was that one time I hid the bottle and I knew so clearly that it was a new step of dysfunctionalism, and I was trying to control my drinking at the time and yet I had no control. So I think, for me that was the final point as well, and I think it's because I was being honest inside myself, because that's what you've got to be, right? You've got to be honest inside yourself.
Definitely. And that was a biggie for me. And my poor husband got up at 2:00 that morning and found three bottles empty on the bench. And because I went to bed and then I got up and put the bottles there, and he came home and he said, what was that all about? I told him, because And then you came, it's just like, oh, no, it wasn't long before that Nigel Latta did that expose on the alcohol industry. So it was like in a month, all these little things happened where you were little, you were the big thing. I needed you to be on that. I caught you on telly, was brilliant.
I'll put the links up here for people. They can watch the Nigel Latta doco, and I'll find the breakfast interview that I must have done around that same time. I've done a few, but I think I remember which one it was. It just goes to show how we need people to be open. I mean, at the time, even 19 years ago, when I sort of opened up, and I always say, and I love your praise of me, but I'm not special. I just happened to be the one at the time who was opening up. But nowadays, gosh, thank goodness, there's so many more people opening up, and the whole sober curious movement and online, you know, there's a lot more opportunities for people to just catch that bit that they need at the time.
Yeah. Well, people say I will tell them within 5 minutes that I'm vegan, and that's true. But I also tell people within 10 minutes I'm sober, because I've caught a few people who've come to me later and asked for advice, or how did I do it, or why did I do it? And by being open, some people go, oh, she was an alcoholic. But who cares about that? Because I'm not any, because I'm not now. But only recently, when I put up one of my posts that I was sober for such a long time, and someone I know, she's now on your site, and she rang me and said, oh no, she texted me and she said, I have a problem. And she was the last person I expected. Absolutely the last person. Secret drinker. And so then she was really good for 3 months, and then she said, oh, I'm okay now, Hetty. So anyway, 6 months later, she said, you know that book, because I won you one of your books. She said, you know that book, could I borrow it, please? And
Oh,
she's now sober.
it's
She's now
just
sober.
so it goes. Oh, great story. And hello, whoever you are. Good
Yeah.
job. It just goes to show how many people are out there struggling. But anyway, I want to ask you about the early days of quitting. So, how was it? Was it easy? Was it hard? How did you go? What were the cravings like? What helped?
My soda water. I bought a soda stream machine, and I never did the flavors, just the straight soda water. That was my computer room. And I lived on your site for the first 6 months, for the first 9 months. I counted the days like they were precious jewels. I did get first through the first 2 days because I drank so much on my last day. I drank so much that I could hardly bend over on my first day without feeling sick. That got me through day one. Day two, not much better. And then slowly, I was so determined for some reason. I think I never hit rock bottom, but I'd hit my own rock bottom. I knew that I couldn't do it anymore. Just couldn't do it anymore. So I went on a health kick as well. About 3 months later, I went on a health kick, and that's where the veganism started, but not straight away. I went, tried keto, then I went plant-based, and I lost nearly 20K. And so I was going from nowhere to strength to strength to strength. So the journey was actually great for me, because I'm the kind of person who needs projects. And this was
Gosh,
the best project.
you think back now to that version of you that was drinking at least a bottle most nights, weighing 20 kg more, not being connected and sort of feeling strong and grounded like you are now. I mean, it's so great where you've got to, Hetty.
And then my daughter, my beautiful oldest daughter, a month later said, you're really doing this, and I'm going with you. And she was 9 years sober yesterday. So that was one of my first catches. One of the best catches.
Yeah. And tell me, what was it that you got from the community here? Was it that sense that you're not alone, and just that?
Just like going into the bar called Cheers, where everyone knows your name. And look, when, like I told you, the one AA meeting, I know how AA works now, I didn't then, but you hear everyone's stories and that's supposed to help you. It didn't help. And I know AA is brilliant because I've got a beautiful friend who's doing AA and she just can't do without it. So it's working for her. But hearing all those depressing stories did my head in. What I loved about when I joined the site, and I last night laid in bed trying to remember, I know all their real names now. I can't remember all their other names, but it was all positivity and helping each other. And, Hetty, you must be up to day 7 now, you know. then you got to 10 days, and then you got to 2 weeks. It was like a celebration every day, wasn't it, Lotta?
Oh, you know that is still happening every day. There's people, new people coming in, and they get to double digits. Yeah, and then they might struggle a bit, and they come back, and then someone gets to 1 year, and you just watch them. That's why I love this mahi so much, because you watch them grow and flourish, and there's a constant stream of people coming in and getting well, and our vibe continues to be, you know, unfailingly positive, forward-looking, non-judgmental and kind. It's a beautiful thing.
That's what it was. It was a kindness. You know, that's why I say cheers. Everyone knew my name. Everyone, you come on, oh, Hetty, how you doing, you know. And it was just such a great vibe because we were all on the same boat. And then some behind me, Michelle was, 3 days behind me and called me a lamplighter. But then I called someone in front of me a lamplighter because they were 2 days ahead of me. And the trickle up and down was brilliant.
I know. And you can always, you know, can always see it.
It's such a safe place to be. It was a great, positive, that's why I loved it. And I came home from work, poured my soda. I would spend a good half hour there first, go and cook dinner, do what I had to do, come back. And I spent a lot of time in the computer room. But it was my safe, happy place. And I loved every minute of it. And I supported others and they supported me. And it was just wonderful.
There's always a turning point where I see members start to support others and start to just, and that just enriches your own recovery, because that's when, like you say, it's like a, and you don't even have to be that far along and the person's just a few days behind you, but you get that sense of trying to pull people up, and it's a wonderful thing to witness.
I had a day twin. And we were on the same day, and I said, there was triplets, but one fell off. So we remained a day twins to this very day. And she lives down here in the South Island. And we sort of stopped communicating after a couple of years. But one day I just felt like getting hold of her. And so I texted her and said, how are you doing? And she said, oh, my God, how did you know? And I said, no, what? And she said, I'm just not good today. And I was thinking, and I said, no, you won't. And she said, it's unbelievable that you contacted me today. That I just, because we're day twins, we're connected. So.
I can remember your big thing was always, do you remember the 3 Ds? Delay, distract, and drink lots of water. Was that it?
That is so important. I've forgotten that, but that's where you go on site. You distract and you delay. Of course, we want to. You ask me what's it like in the early days, because I was so focused, and I was 65. Maybe because I was a bit older and not going to parties or socializing a heck of a lot. It didn't really affect me all that much, but the wanting a drink Yeah, just keep busy. Well, I think I also said on the site quite, go clean the bath. Go clean the bath. It can always do with a clean. Go clean the bath. That's your delay and distract. So, yeah. I've had two times in the 9 years I've thought of alcohol seriously. One was our 50th anniversary, so I was 17. And we were going to the Hermitage for our anniversary. Very, very special. And for a couple of weeks beforehand, I kept envisaging in my head the bottle of Moët and a glass with all that lovely, even when it's ice, what do you call that? The condensation coming off it. I could see the bubbles. And I couldn't understand after 5 years why the wine witch was in my head, but she really was. And finally, I sat down with it and worked it out. It was the romance. It wasn't the alcohol. It was the romance. So I bought a beautiful bottle of Kvass, I think it was called, non-alcoholic. It was red. We had it cold and it was beautiful. The other time, the wine witch was just very recently when my husband had his little medical event and was a bad day. And I came home and did a few things and I sat in the couch and I went, I want a bottle of wine, not a glass. I want a bottle of wine. And I
I
thought,
want to escape. I
where
want
the heck did
100%. Yeah.
that
Isn't it?
come
It
from?
wasn't a little, well, it was just, I need to not feel this. This is so intense. I need to not feel. That's why you want a bottle, not a glass. I want to completely not feel.
So I just told the wine witch what she could do with her bottle of wine and where she could put it. But what gets me is, yeah, but where, what got me is that it came after 9 years, that it was so strong in my head. It wasn't the wine I wanted. Luckily, I get that. It same anniversary. That was the romance. This was the relief, the release. Anyway, I made myself a beautiful cup of tea and I was fine.
I was going to say, what do you do now in those times when the going gets tough and you're feeling uncomfortable with strong emotions and concern? I mean, your husband being ill, it's like, what are the, what do you do to look after yourself? What are the new techniques you've developed? Self-care for Hetty.
Go do some cooking. Sit in the corner and have a good cry. Let yourself feel the emotions. Don't try to hold it all in because you can't. Ring up my daughters and chat to them. And I've got good friends here who were totally ready to help me. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know what I actually do really, but yeah.
That's monumental. That's like, it's what we never did when we were drinking, was just let ourselves feel it and cry, and then connecting with people. Those are the beautiful things that actually work.
They
Nothing's
do.
going to take the pain away, but you got to feel it. It's so cliche. You got to feel it. It's real. It's there for a reason.
And yes, and you can't get rid of it by having a bottle of wine.
No.
The problem is still there.
Goodness knows we tried, and a lot of people still are. So just before we sort of wrap up, and I know you've talked about you like a project and you've gone levels of your activism and self-care around food and stuff. But aside from that, for emotionally speaking, or just as a character, what did you think you've learned about yourself in 9 years of being sober?
I'm stronger than I thought I was. I've learned to like me, whether someone else doesn't anymore. I don't really care anymore. I like me, so that is the main thing. My family love me, so that's also the main thing. I'm quieter. I'm still out, but I'm quieter in here. It's a hard one to really answer, but basically, just like myself way better than I ever, ever, ever had. I wish I'd never started in my mid-30s. But you can't wish it away either. So, and I don't even know when. I don't even know when one glass of wine turned into a bottle. I've got no memory of it per se. I don't know when I suddenly, wow. And yet, I think I might have mentioned, it took me nearly 3 years to actually say I'm an alcoholic. Even though I stopped drinking, I could not actually say I'm an alcoholic. I can say it now. And I'm happy to. I always used to tell people, "Oh, I'm 5 years or 3 years sober. I had a drinking problem." That word alcoholic is not a very pretty word, is it?
Well, it's such a loaded word, and quite honestly, it's completely up to you if you want to use it or not. A lot of people don't, and that's fine too. It's just it's been sort of hijacked by judgment, I think, and stigma, but I like to use it personally as well because I like the drama.
I do now.
It kind of sums up my experience, but I completely respect people who don't. And if you people are hung up on not labeling themselves, don't, you know, honestly, do whatever works for you to keep yourself well.
Well, that's what I said. Eventually I was able to say it, but it just took a while.
Well, look.
Gosh, every day I do three gratitudes every morning, but it always starts with thank you, universe, for my sobriety and my health and knowing that the two are totally connected. I wouldn't have one without the other.
Beautiful. All right. I love you. You're awesome. You were such a shining light in the early days, Hetty. You really were. You were one of the gang of people, and I'm always happy when you pop back in and say hi. And
I do try to do it more often, but then I sort of lose track, so I come back in, and I sort of, and then a few go, and I try and catch a few newbies, and I must remember the 3 Ds. I must get back on them. I'll try to go in more often and remind people of the 3 Ds.
Don't ever feel bad. It's a natural thing to move through, and we've got other people in there now who are lamp lighting.
Yeah.
You know, so just whatever works for you, but I do just want to thank you for the time you spent in those early days, and I'm just so happy for you that you are part of the cool sober gang. So thank you.
Thank you for you. Thank you for that morning on television. Do find it. And and the other one, the best thing I've ever seen was that golden, was it the kiwi? Eat chasing the.
Yes.
That is the best one as well.
I'll put it.
That's such
that
a good
well.
One.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it? That description of how it brings you
down.
Up at first and then it brings you down.
Oh.
Powerful.
Till the end. Okay, thank you again, Lotta, for everything you have done for all of us.
Thank you. Ka kite. Bye.
Bye. Thank you very much.